In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
How can he be a ninja?
He lived for 20 years in Japan. He trained Kogaryu style ninjutsu.
We've got to stop him. I'll call Lieutenant Dime.
This is no job for the police. It's something I'll have to do. Only a ninja can stop a ninja.
I'm a ninja, I'm a hoodie ninja. I'm a ninja, I'm a hoodie ninja. I'm a ninja, I'm a hoodie ninja. I'm a ninja, I'm a hoodie.
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm Smokin' Joe.
Brad Jackson.
And welcome. This is our first show, so you may be wondering, Cigar Nerds, is this going to be an hour-long discussion on cigars? No, it is not.
Could be.
Maybe. But this is a show about the nerdy things we talk about when we're hanging out and smoking cigars. But we are smoking cigars, so yeah, so y'all can smoke along at home. I'm sampling a CAO Brasilia.
And I got the old Patel Brother NP here. Pretty decent medium smoke.
Nice. All right, as you may have been told by the intro music you just heard, today's theme is ninjas. We're going to talk about the pop culture influence of ninjas on movies, TVs, comic books, damn near everything.
Absolutely. You know, martial arts, it's gaining more and more traction, starting to see a lot of the UFC, but, you know, precursor to UFC, and even you folks that may be into the WWE scene, you know, where did martial arts come from? What started it? What's the big attraction to it all? So
we're going to try really hard to do this without doing a racist Asian accent impression at some point. We're going to try hard.
Hoopo brass.
Like 5 seconds in, you're already like...
probably the shaved head, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. The very first ninja movie was a silent film from 1916 by the name of Koga, and I probably not pronouncing this correctly.
Hold on, you gotta do this part in your best accent.
Koga Yonon Ninjutsu Kagaru from 1916.
Damn, pretty good.
Yeah, flex it. So, ninja movies have been around a long, long time. I mean they've like influenced everything. I mean, ninja movies are the reason why I got into like martial arts and stuff like that, because I wanted to be a ninja when I was a kid.
You know, just the folks listening alone and everything else. What kind of martial arts have you studied, Joe?
Hapkido, some other stuff I can't pronounce, but primarily Hapkido.
Yeah, see, my martial arts experience is pretty limited. You know, my problem is we're in Dungeons and Dragons and going to a 5A high school and everything else. I just learned how to defend myself and not get my ass beat. Which, ninja movies help tremendously. You take crane formation and people instantly get confused.
Yeah, freaking ninja movies have, like, I mean, blew up in the, I don't know, 70s, 80s. It was like everything had a ninja in it.
You know, you kind of missed my part. I mean, I understand. Looking back, if you folks Google, you know, the history of ninja movies, what Joe's saying is true, but, you know, one of my favorite, you know, series, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, some folks wouldn't necessarily dub that as ninja, but, you know, my childhood and everything.
Ninja is in the title.
Yeah. I mean, dude, go ninja, go ninja, go.
Exactly. I mean, the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle animated series, and we could probably do a whole episode on Ninja Turtles, and probably at some point we will. But yeah, that thing was huge when I was in, like, elementary school and
whoa, you're giving away your age.
Shut up. Yeah, the and I haven't seen the new one yet, but everybody says it's pretty good. But yeah, the original Ninja Turtles, dude, that thing was awesome, man. I had like all the toys and stuff. I even had that freaking ninja blimp that was completely ridiculous.
Yeah, if you didn't have the blimp, man, you weren't living life. That and the turtle van. I mean,
yes, the turtle van is
anything that can launch pizzas across the room and potentially poke out eyes. Today's kids just don't know what they're missing out on.
Yeah, man, toys were dangerous when we were kids. I mean, I had like a plastic ninja sword that you could, like, beat somebody with.
Well, I mean, part of the problem, I think, is if we had a G.I. Joe or something with a flamethrower, we were actually lighting the thing on fire, trying to figure out how to make it throw flames.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, we didn't have to have safety warnings when we were kids. We were just smart enough not to put our eyes
actually,
out.
Actually, we were the kids. That's the reason they have safety warnings these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's like I think that's how you grew up. You, like, had to survive your childhood. It was like survival of the fittest.
Yeah,
you were smart enough
iPads
not to kill
technology.
You.
It was go outside, play in dirt, try to not get bit or stung by anything. And if you do, you should probably just either spit on it or rub some more dirt on it.
The first, actually, Oxford English Dictionary, right? They track, like, the origin of words and stuff, and the first mention...
Holy shit. Being a dictionary, it tracks words?
Yeah.
And meanings?
Uh-huh. Jackass. But, the first mention of ninja in Western culture is from the 1964 James Bond novel, You Only Live Twice. And the first American ninja movie was the movie version of You Only Live Twice, Mr. Sean Connery.
Good times. Classics.
I mean, that movie was messed up. I mean, have you ever seen You Only Live Twice?
I say I have. It's been so long that, you know, I think we should definitely lead in at some point with the 007 episode and definitely do some refreshers.
Oh, yeah. I want that that Blu-ray set so bad, but I don't have $200 to spend on it yet. Yeah, You Only Live Twice.
We are now taking donations.
Yeah, we're going to do a Kickstarter to buy us the James Bond set so we can do a podcast on it. I mean, that sounds reasonable, right? But, that movie that was the bad guys of that film was actually stealing spaceships. They had, like, this spaceship that would capture other ships in space, and they were trying to start, like, World War III. So, and their secret base was inside a volcano in Japan somewhere. So Bond had to team up with, like, the Japanese Special Forces, which was a ninja clan, and they taught him somehow to be a ninja within, you know, a couple weeks. But he's Bond. You know, he can learn, like, the ancient art.
Every ninja movie I've seen, it's only a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't understand what people are devoting their life for. I mean, it just seems like you just got to meet up with the right master and,
you got to find an old dude that lives in a...
wax on and wax off, and, dude, you got every skill set you're ever going to need.
I don't want to hear about you waxing off. That's inappropriate. We'll get the explicit rating, like, right off the bat. But, yeah, it was so weird, too, because to sneak Bond in, they tried to make him look Chinese. So they cut... or Japanese. They cut his hair and, like... gave him these slanted eye things. So it's like, you know, this six...
slanted eye things?
Yes, they made his eyes try to look slanted to blend him in to the Japanese people so they could sneak in as fishermen to get in on this base. It was messed up.
I'd just be a rice salesman.
And freaking Bond is like, you know, 6'2", something like that, and he's got these, like, you know, 5'4", Japanese guys with him. I'm like, yeah, he looked really believable.
Very, very small. Very distinct culture.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's really where the whole ninja craze started. I mean, but then there was, like, so many ninja movies back then. Like you said, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when the live-action version came out. I mean, that was, like, a huge movie then. There's, like, so many kids that, like, hurt themselves or wanted to take martial arts after that.
I can remember being a kid and Halloween time come around, and even then, even without it being Halloween, we were always, you know, cutting out cardboard boxes and all kinds of things to try to give ourselves shells and carrying the different personas. I think, you know, Michelangelo probably played a big influence on not only my growing up, but, you know, some of my sense of humor and everything else, even into my adulthood.
How many pizzas did that show sell? I mean,
dude, how many pizzas is that show still going to sell? You know, the trilogy is sitting upstairs, so, you know, one of these episodes, all it's going to take is for us to order a big box of pizza, and in the special comments section when the guy comes to deliver it, we'll make sure that he addresses us El Hydra, and...
you know what, Confucius say,
pizza and salad.
You should always forgive, but never pay full price for late pizza.
30 minutes or it's free, right? Yeah. Well, not in Atlanta traffic.
Yeah. I think they finally dropped that campaign because some dude, like, caused a fatality accident trying to rush to get a pizza.
You shouldn't laugh about that. somebody lost their life over a pizza.
Hey, man, comedy is tragedy plus time, and it's been a while.
Well, I mean, they will say that, you know, to be a good comedian, the first thing you have to do is learn to hate yourself.
Yeah, comedians are some jacked up people. So you got to have inner pain to be a comedian.
Dude, in a way, comedians are ninjas.
Okay.
They harness their inner chi, right? So, I mean, it's the power of the hatred and everything that they're able to transform and present out in the form of comedy.
So what influences did ninja culture have on you?
You know, early in my childhood, I would say that it was probably more of just, hey, this is pretty cool. I'd like to learn how to do some of that. But, you know, I take away from it, you know, I went back the other night and watched, you know, the original Karate Kid movies and stuff like that. And some of the core values and, you know, just kind of going back to that whole additive of, you know, your mind has the power to control so much in life. And, you know, if you can learn to control your thoughts, how much impact they have on your outward self, the way that people perceive you, and the way that you can take a negative situation and just think positively about it. And typically you'll get that positive outcome if, you know, your mind is strengthened. You know, kind of going along the lines, you know, I remember playing Mortal Kombat and things, and, you know, the very first intro sentence, there is no knowledge that is not power. I mean, you know, that's something that
Mortal
literally
Kombat
I can take away
huge,
to heart.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat is another huge, like, ninja influence. I mean, that original game, I mean, the one thing that people, like, remember is Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I mean, even if you don't know anything about or never played Mortal Kombat, you ask somebody, hey, what do you know about Mortal Kombat? Oh, freaking Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
I don't know. I always remember the Nemesis Shang Tsung. I can't tell you how many quarters went into arcade. That and damn Goro.
Dude, the best part of, Mortal Kombat 2 is when they finally brought, I'm blanking on his name. The big bad guy.
Montaro?
No, I'm talking like the head bad guy, the one that Shang Tsung worked for. Kung Lao, not Kung Lao, Shao Kahn.
Shao Kahn, yes.
Because he would insult you every time you lose. Like, you would lose, and he'd be like, it's official, you suck.
That made that game so much better. They came up with some of the humor and one-liners for Deadpool.
I don't know. Deadpool's probably been... That's one thing we gotta look up. We need to do a Deadpool episode. But yeah, he's been around for a while. I don't know how he looks like a ninja. But I don't know how good of a ninja he is because he's not very stealthy. He just shows up and fucks shit up.
I mean,
and then makes fun of you when you die.
Isn't that the art of being a ninja? I mean, dude, he was effing people up before they even realized they were effed up half the time.
And the thing about ninja movies too was it was always like, you know, one guy could take on like just waves and waves of ninjas, unless he was.
That's like an IP man, you know. IP shows up and just instantly, I'm taking on the 10 best guys. Give me 10 soldiers. And just goes to work.
Well, the thing is, it was such a cliche of the 80s ninja action movies. They even came up with a term for it. It's called the inverse... inverse ninja rule. But, which is like, if there's one guy fighting hundreds of ninjas, he kicked their ass until he came across another solo ninja. So the more ninjas you have, the weaker they are. One ninja is almost impossible to defeat, but if you have 100 ninjas, you can kick their ass, no problem.
That's because, you know, if you're in a group of people, you think that, oh, somebody's going to step up and, you know, the fight's never going to come to me, and you let your guard down at that point?
Now, just the hero has to be a badass. Yeah, he can only get his ass kicked when he runs up to against the, like,
so
the lone
like
ninja
Chuck
master.
Chuck Norris badass?
Of course.
I mean, dude, that's a mean roundhouse, all right?
Chuck Norris, yeah, could take on, like, you know, hundreds of ninjas, but unless he gets one ninja. I mean, the only man to kick his ass...
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris versus Chuck Norris. Now, that would be, like, you know, an apocalyptic
battle.
That's like
the battle of the gods.
Yeah, the only person who kicked Chuck Norris' ass was Bruce Lee.
You know, the IP Man movie, you know, that he was Bruce Lee's trainer at a lot of... definitely some history and stuff I learned after watching it. Very good movie, by the way, if you folks haven't seen it. You know, one of those things that I passed over for a number of years and sat down the other night and gave it some time and said, man, I've been missing out on life.
Yeah, I think it's been a while. I may have seen it, I don't know. But, yeah, that's, you know, the general term, like, just martial arts movies, I mean, those things are everywhere. But, and still, to this day, it's like, you know, every movie has some kind of fight scene in it. Even movies where they're, you know, doing a lot of shooting and stuff, there's usually comes a point where some martial arts is
broken
out.
Star Wars and stuff like that. I mean, you know, some of the lightsaber tactics and everything else. I mean, you know, I would see some of the choreographs and stuff from those movies translate, you know, into some of the precursor, you know, ninja-esque samurai movies.
Yeah, those are more like a samurai thing. And you know, Lucas did kind of, you know, that was one of his influence on Star Wars, was like, you know, old samurai films. You know, the Jedi were supposed to be the samurais of the galaxy or whatever. But yeah, the, and even, like I said, it bled over into video games, comic books, even cartoons, like G.I. Joe. I mean, most people can't remember, you know, Duke or Flint or any of those other guys, but, you know, everybody remembers freaking Snake Eyes. I mean, that's like, you know, everyone wanted to be a ninja, like, back in the
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
This is, like, my influence is a you know, ninja culture on me. Like, and sad to say, like, I was probably, like, a teenager when we, like, me and my friends actually at one point decided that we were becoming, like, ninja vigilantes. We're going to start a secret, like, ninja club. We even had ninja names and stuff.
You know, you got a couple of years on me, but I mean, even in my childhood and stuff like that, you were always looking, you know, there was secret clubs or, you know, almost secret societies, if you will, that, you know, you're just like, oh, I want to dream of this and, you know, do that. And, dude, it's just crazy, you know. I kind of feel bad for, you know, kids these days and stuff because they don't get some of those, you know, imaginative experiences and things, you know. Now it's everything's information's available at the touch of a finger, and
without the, you know, like I said, the explosion in ninja, you know, culture, we wouldn't have had the Power Rangers. I mean, yeah, the Power Rangers was, you know, basically like, you know, most kids
Make
like
my
first
monsters grow.
Yeah, that, I mean, yeah, Power Rangers was, you could almost call that a ninja show because, I mean, dudes in masks beating up weird things.
So does a ninja have to have a mask?
Not necessarily, because, I mean, there's some, I mean, it helps for being, you know, stealthy and all that stuff, but even when you don't have a mask,
I don't know, man.
Badass.
I see somebody in a mask, I automatically assume that you're looking for trouble.
Well, I usually am, yeah. Unless it's a gimp, then that's a whole different, that's not a ninja, that's...
Yeah. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a special episode. Ninja movies after dark. That's one thing when I was researching, like, you know, different ninja
poker after dark. We're now taking your spot.
That was one thing I came across when I was like researching ninjas in pop culture. There's even been ninja pornos, ninja like erotica and stuff.
So I guess the movie The Girl with the Horny Tattoo would fall in that category.
I don't know, but I wish I remembered some of the names of some of these weird ninja adult films. But yeah. Hey, yeah, ninja, they never see you coming.
All right, once again, with this explicit rating, I think we need to give the friendly folks at home a fair warning.
Yeah, it's one thing about hanging out smoking cigars. You tend to cuss a lot.
Just comes with the territory. It's, yeah. You know, it's almost like being a pirate. You just do what you want because...
Hey, ninjas versus pirates, ninjas always win.
Yeah, I can see that one.
I mean, you can sneak up on a pirate. You just wait till he's drunk, which is all the time.
I don't think there's ever a time you're not drunk. I mean, either you're drunk or you're looking to loot the booty.
I mean, sometimes you get drunk and loot the booty. But, yeah, every once in a while, the rum is always gone. But yeah, pirate movies is another one another topic we can cover at some point. But what's some of your favorite ninja movies from back in the day?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to have to kind of go with, you know, some of the stuff I grew up on. Like, we already covered, you know, Ninja Turtles, the Karate Kid series, you know, some of the
Karate Kid is a ninja.
Well, I mean, you still got the martial arts aspect of it, and, you know, I mean, you do have the Cobra, you know, dojo and stuff, so that kind of goes back to the whole G.I. Joe thing, so you can see how that ties together. You know, I would say Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and, you know, some of the other, you know, more comedious, you know, films. I don't know. I was always more into, you know, books, like The Art of Invisibility, how you can manipulate, you know, people's peripheral vision. And
I got hardcore into, like, ninja stuff when I was a kid. I read a bunch of those books. I had the Ninja Art of Invisibility. I had Ninja Power of the Mind. I read a bunch of stuff by American Ninja, Stephen Hayes, I think his name was. He was supposedly, like, the one guy who first, like, went over to Japan and studied ninjutsu and then brought, you know, the actual martial arts of it, not the, you know, Hollywood movie stuff, back to America and started teaching ninjutsu here. He says the guy's still got a few schools around, but yeah, he wrote a bunch of books on ninja history and ninja tactics and stuff like that. And some of those were interesting, especially ones where he talked about where he, like, first went to Japan and met ninjas to, like, study with them. Because, like, you know, they didn't have, like, a, you know, dojo on the side of the road like we have here. It was like he literally met
these. There was a dojo on the side of the road?
Yeah.
Where?
Down the street, around the corner. There for a while there was a place in Gainesville that was teaching ninjutsu. But yeah, like I said, like in his one of his books where he talks, you know, talks about going through all the training and stuff, he literally met these guys like after dark at like a closed down golf course or something to like talk them into accepting them into
two stereotypes I would have never put together. I mean, I would have said hockey players. You know, I mean, you got Casey Jones rocking the cricket Casey bats Jones. And the hockey sticks from time to time.
Now there's a costume I need to do for Dragon Con. Casey Jones.
Dude, you would be a big Casey Jones. I would not mess with you if I saw you out on the street. Hockey mask or not.
Ninja vanish. Order some ninja pizza. Pizza that vanishes quickly without a trace.
Dude, so do you get one of those by using invisible ink when you place your order?
Yes. you have to order in a mask. You know, the pizza man shows up in a puff of smoke and, like, all of a sudden there's pizza. But speaking of American ninjas, there's also the classic American Ninja movie.
Yeah, you know, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, it is great. They've got the first one up on Netflix. You should check it out. I need to find the other three. But I used to rent those all the time. We actually, me and my buddy Mike, who was also a big ninja nerd, we would rent in, like...
Hold on. Mike is, like, 4 foot nothing.
Yeah. And the dude, I got a good ninja story about him. Little fucker. We went on a vacation to this resort town up in Tennessee, Gatlinburg, and they had this store called China Bazaar. And it was the weirdest thing because it's like now there's like they're all over the place up there. But you go it was a two story store, and the bottom floor was all t-shirts and regular like touristy knickknacks.
This one that upstairs is like weapons and stuff.
Yes, there's like this staircase in the corner that had a freaking ninja statue. We're like, what the hell is that? So we like go upstairs, and the upstairs is all like martial arts weapons and ninja books, and they even had like a full ninja suit for sale. So Mike buys a full ninja suit, and we go back to the cabin, and he's like, I gotta try out the ninja suit. He puts it on, like goes outside. I'm like sitting there playing games, and it's like it's been like 20 minutes. I'm like, who the hell is he? Through the window, I'm like looking out, trying to figure out where the hell he's at, and all of a sudden I notice these two eyes, like just on the other side of the glass, staring at me, scared the crap out of me. I was like, the ninja suit works.
The force is stronger that one.
But yeah, we rented like all four of those movies and watched them in one night. But it's about a guy that it's in the first one's in the Philippines, and he's like an army private that basically had to join up because of. You know, back in the day, you know, you could either go to jail or join the army or something. That was a big big thing back in the day.
I think there was a draft or something going on then, and it was pretty much, hey, you're the age of 18, and we need your service.
Well, this was the 80s. There was no draft in the 80s. But yeah, he somehow knows ninjutsu, but doesn't remember his past. And for some reason, some terrorist guy has hired a clan of ninjas to steal stuff from the military. And attacks this military base, and the one lone guy who happens to know ninjutsu like beats the hell out of everybody, and then eventually finds his like ninja master who had raised him as a kid, and turns out he was like, you know, an orphan that was raised by ninjas. And like this whole series of him going on ninja adventures. And it like, so it's at the trailer. I watched the, like, I rewatched
so
the first one.
So it was almost like a trilogy then, instead of.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, there was four, ended up being four of them.
I'm surprised that I missed this one, but. Yeah, something we'll definitely have to go back and revisit.
Yeah, the like, I just rewatched the first one. It holds up. It's still pretty badass. Yeah, the second one, I think he like works for like the. Oh no, I think the second one is like they're at a they're no longer in the military or something. They're at like a martial arts tournament, and somehow ninjas. There's some kind of like gang using ninjas or something, and they end up getting into some ninja
Flip
shit.
Clan?
Maybe. Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen the second one. But yeah, then, like, the third one, it wasn't the same guy. Like, in the first one, it's this actor, Michael Dudikoff, who was in a bunch of, like, 80s action movies. But he apparently quit. So the third movie, it's, like, a brand new guy who's, like, working for, like, the CIA and going on these secret ninja missions. But the fourth one was, like, probably one of my favorites because the new American ninja gets caught on a mission and is, like, going to rescue somebody and ends up getting, like, you know, caught. So they have to go find the original American Ninja and talk him into, like, going to save the new American Ninja. So it has both the guys in it just tearing up stuff.
So you get two ninjas now instead of one.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just...
The trailer for it is hilarious. It's like the ancient... one of the deadliest arts of the ancient Orient is now in the hands of an American. It's like the poster is like him and, like, Ninja get up with a sword in front of a big American flag. I mean, it is so, like, America.
Fuck yeah. For all you folks out there, America.
America. Fuck yeah.
I mean, I think one that we passed up, looking to watch again here, Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, Ninja Scroll.
Series. I mean, that one still holds up.
I mean, that was like one of the first animes I ever watched. That really got me into anime. It was that original Ninja Scrolls. I mean, it was such. I mean, like one of the opening scenes where like the guy is just like walking across. I think he's like walking across a bridge or something, and these guys jump him, and it's basically like you don't even see like the sword come out of the holster, and like all of a sudden everyone's like already dead, and he's. I mean, and they had that one girl in there, like her weapon was like sex. She would have sex or kiss people, and they would die.
I think that's almost every girl's weapon.
Yeah, true.
Just throw that one out there.
Yeah, she had like a poison kiss or something. If I vaguely remember.
Precursor to Poison Ivy? You want something there?
And then all the John Woo films, too. That's more of a kung fu thing. But, yeah, like I said, the 80s were full of, like... And even into the 90s, it was full of, like, just ninjas and everything.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the thing, you know? I mean, I like where technology's gone. The graphics have gotten better, you know, with high definition and 3D and CGI and stuff. But... you really lost some of that raw physical intensity that you just don't see that in movies really anymore.
Yeah, cause, I mean, you know, back in the day it was like all the actual practical martial arts and stuff, and then, you know, in the late 90s and stuff, then you started getting all like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, you started getting all the wire work stuff where the, you know, people were like flying through the air doing like almost, you know, supernatural events and stuff. That's why I always loved Jackie Chan movies, because, I mean, Jackie Chan, all his stuff was, like, you know...
raw. I mean, it was real. It was in your face. Him and Bruce Lee as well. I mean, you know, those are two guys that definitely have to have mad respect for.
It's like, Enter the Dragon, when he kicks that one dude, and the guy goes, like, 7-8 foot back before he hits the ground. That was a real kick. I've seen, like, some interview stuff where apparently that guy was, like, an asshole to Bruce Lee, so when it got to the point where he was supposed to kick him, Bruce really kicked him.
I do not want to be that guy.
I was, you know, I was thinking that the, you know, kind of the big ninja culture has kind of died out, but it's.
No, I mean,
it's definitely making a comeback.
I think it comes in waves. I mean, you know, you see that now with zombie culture. Is, you know, there for a while, zombie movies really weren't.
Yeah,
it was
a big thing. You know, 70s and 80s, and
following, and then.
Yeah, now with like Walking Dead and everything, it's, you know, making a huge comeback, but. Even ninja movie, we had the there's always been the Japanese ninja movies and stuff like Ninja Assassin. I mean, there was like, you know, and that thing was just like bloody as hell. I mean, back to the one guy versus like 100 ninjas. But, I mean, the new G.I. Joe movies that just came out, you know, they, especially the second one, was, like, very ninja heavy. And we got the
and
new
one. And one that we overlooked, even Kill Bill, you know, was very ninja-ous.
Yeah, that, that you know, made the list of some of the top ninja movies. It, even though you don't see a, you know, traditional ninja, you know, it definitely had some nods to the old-style ninja films in it. Especially the fight scene where Uma Thurman is taking on the whatever the 101 maniacs or whatever
yes.
they call them. Yeah, that was very ninja-esque. Again, the old cliche of one person versus 100 ninjas,
yeah.
it'll work. It's just, it doesn't get like hard until it's just one-on-one. When it was her versus, you know, Lucy Liu or whatever her name is. That's when the fight, the shit hit the fan. You know, when it was just, but it was 100 ninjas, no problem. One ninja,
yeah, and
you're screwed.
You know, even Miho and Sin City and stuff like that, I, you know, I'm...
Yeah, I forgot about Sin City, yeah, that...
You know, I'm really looking forward to this second one coming out. I hope it doesn't disappoint.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. And then, well, Batman, when the new Batman movie started, you know, the first, Batman Returns, you know, he was trained by ninjas. I mean, you're not getting as many, I don't think it's as prevalent, or however that pronounced. I've smoked 4 cigars today, so I'm probably going to start talking like Darth Vader before this is over with. But, yeah, like the first Batman movie was... And Batman's pretty much a ninja. I mean, he was trained by ninjas. You know, his stealth and all that stuff comes from ninja training. You know, Batman is definitely the modern-day version of a ninja. But, yeah, like I said, so, yeah, we've got, you know, the current... And then the new Ninja Turtle movies that this came out, you know, that thing made a bunch of money this... it's opening weekend, and I think they're already talking about, you know, more sequels for that, so...
Yeah, I, you know, talking of the new Ninja Turtle movie and stuff, I definitely want to go and check it out this weekend. I'm a bit concerned, though, that I'm going to want to try to relive my childhood through the movie, and I need to put in retrospect that... Hey, it's a modern rendition, and it is Michael Bay directing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I've heard it's a good movie if you don't go in thinking you're going to see, like, you know, the original ninja movies. You just, you know, if you take it on its own.
I don't know what it is, man. Back in the day, I think April O'Neil, you know, I mean, she was kind of the bombshell of the, you know.
Dude, April O'Neil is one of my reasons I'm obsessed with redheads. It's like, you know, her and Agent Scully, you know, branded me from a young age of hunting down redheaded women. Much to my chagrin. It's always trouble, but it's always worth it.
And, you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth putting the effort into.
Yeah, and even video games, too. Like, you know, all the badass games had ninjas
Ninja
in them.
Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden. I mean, even the newer Ninja Gaidens on... I used to play Ninja Gaiden, like, at the original Ninja Gaiden,
yeah,
like, arcade machine.
The arcades and stuff, yeah.
But, yeah, that Ninja Gaiden that came out for, I guess it was Xbox, the original Xbox, that was a badass game.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a great series of games.
And the remake, I think, was on the when her PS3 was pretty good.
You know, Double Dragon, going
yeah.
back old school, probably getting, you know.
Oh, yeah, Double Dragon.
Like, man.
I just love that. And there was another game called... And it was so cheesy, arcade game I used to play called Bad Dudes. That's how cheesy it was. It was Bad Dudes, and I think the story of the game is somebody, ninjas had kidnapped the president's daughter, and you had to go save her. So it's like these two, like, random dudes fighting, like, just tons of ninjas that for some reason kidnapped the president's daughter. Never explains why. But yeah, that was
it's
another
okay.
one.
It wasn't about the storyline, it was about the gameplay.
No, it was about beating ninjas.
It was about, hey, how do we... put you in a position where you're going to have to feed quarters into this machine.
Yes. Let's call this game Bad Dudes. You want to be a bad dude. And some other good ninja game. I remember Samurai Showdown.
Yeah.
They had a couple ninja characters in that game, too. And that was, I mean, I always wanted to play the ninja character.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, going back to Mortal Kombat and some of the more, you know, modern games, I mean...
Even the Mortal Kombat movie, yeah. Sub-Zero and Scorpion were the were the highlights of those movies.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nobody cares what happens to Liu Kang.
A lot of good choreographs in those.
Yeah, nobody cares what happens to Liu Kang, but yeah, we want to see some Sub-Zero and Scorpion go at it. Even the like really bad sequel was the second movie just was not as good, but yeah, the fight scenes were definitely great in that. And
see, I'm trying to
Yeah, the nunchucks too, and the ninja game too. I used to love playing with the nunchucks.
Dude, I remember going to a flea market or somewhere and buying a set of nunchucks, and they weren't. You know, I don't think they were traditional nunchucks, but they definitely had thick wooden handles, and I can remember cocking myself in the back of the skull quite a few times. And
I can blame so many injuries on Michelangelo for making me think I can use nunchucks.
And I even remember buying a pair of size one time. And,
yeah, I've still got a pair of those too somewhere.
And all right, so speaking of weapons and stuff, so Napoleon Dynamite being pretty good with a bow staff. I mean, even as dry humor as that movie is and stuff, you still get some of those references.
Dude, I hate that movie so much.
I used to hate it, but after about the 14th time of trying to watch it and actually seeing it through, I think I was able to dumb my IQ down enough. And
I think that's why I hate it, is because so many people are like, oh, this movie's excellent. I'm just like,
no. The movie's excellent, only if...
Shut up and eat some ham, Tina.
Smoke something other than a cigar.
Yeah, that's probably... I was not stoned enough to watch that movie.
Inebriated with some alcoholic content.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing. Ninjas were so badass, is the fact that they were, you know, they were almost supernatural. The fact that they just, like, you know, could appear out of nowhere, and like the stealth element. And then they were always portrayed like, you know, samurais were like the, you know, the rich guy, you know, the aristocrat, and ninjas were just like the assassin. You know, their tools
kind
were
of the, hey, you know, my life experiences has led me to develop this knowledge and this skill set, and you know, I can connect with that.
I mean, even the tools were like, you know, just, you know, samurai swords were, you know, these.
Yeah, you see the ninja
really
just
expensive
reach
stuff.
Down, you know, he's down on the ground, just pick up some dirt, and you know, you just use whatever elements there. And, you know, I think that really led, you know, to some, even the, you know, Krav Maga fighting style, even though it's more of disarmament and stuff like that, but you're taught to, you know, basically use whatever tool and resources or, you know, weaknesses of the human body to your advantage.
Well, that's one of the things I read when I was actually studying ninjutsu and, you know, reading all the books and stuff, was like the ninja sword was a piece of junk. Like, you know, samurai swords were like very expensive back in the day. I mean, they were like, you know, works
back
of
in the
art.
Day, dude, you've seen Cold Steel and how much they want for some of the, but.
But the ninjas, like, their swords would be just cheap pieces of junk that might, because, you know, they weren't made to have a sword fight. They were made to sneak up on somebody, kill them, and peace out before anybody. You didn't want to have, like, a extended sword fight with a samurai. You know, basically, ninja come up, you know, take somebody out stealthily, and then take their expensive-ass samurai sword.
Some of my fighting style now is, you know, dude, if I don't incapacitate the person in 30 seconds, I'm probably done for.
Hey, man, always kick them in the nards.
Well, Wolfman's got nards.
Exactly.
Another movie for another day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the, like I said, the, yeah, just the tools and stuff of, and even, like, I mean, I think there was even an episode of MacGyver where there was, like, ninjas running around. I mean, like, ninjas showed up everywhere back in the 80s and 90s.
I don't know. I'm waiting on, well, I think it's already out, like, Ninjas vs. Zombies or, you know.
Yeah, I saw that when I was looking over ninja titles. Ninja vs. Zombies and Ninja vs. Vampires. I have to find those movies just to see how bad they are.
What do you mean bad, man? I can tell you that, you know, some of the, you know, B flicks that I've seen and stuff, and even movies that, you know, weren't even able to be classified at the B level, there's just a rawness and, you know, something about them that, you know what, if I was directing a movie, that's probably how it would turn out. I mean,
yeah, there were so many, like, B ninja movies, dude, like Enter the Ninja and like, you have Ninjas versus Zombies. I think there's even one called, I vaguely remember, called Cheerleader Ninjas. I mean, it was just, it, oh, we forgot about the greatest kids movie of all time, Three Ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
It had a VHS tape, and I think it had Mo Money, Pet Sematary 2, and the Three Ninjas all on one tape. And that was like one of my, you know...
Yeah, like their grandfather was that one. I wish I can't remember. You know, we're sitting here, can't remember names, and we've got access to Google and stuff. But the Asian actor that was, he was in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes,
that's another good ninja movie. But yeah, he was in that. He was in, there's a movie with Eddie Murphy in it, where he's like this Tibetan like monk guy. But yeah, that guy was in a bunch of movies too. Yeah, but he's their ninja master grandfather that taught all the kids to be ninjas.
That's awesome.
Their dad, who's supposed to be a DEA agent or FBI or something, gets captured, and it's up to the three ninja kids to go rescue him. And surf ninjas. Remember surf ninjas?
I do remember surf ninjas.
With Rob Schneider and the stoner guy, and that was another good. And Tone Loc, too, speaking of 80s stars. You know, Mr. Funky Comadina himself was their cop buddy.
Funky Comadina. I still hear that at some of the clubs and stuff that I visit. Like,
oh, Funky Comadina and what was the other song? I can't remember. But yeah, those things always always pop up on a 80s 80s night somewhere.
Dude, so I think, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy's got it though with the best soundtrack. Awesome Mix 1 and Awesome Mix 2. Dude, I could probably rock out to those all day, every day.
That's what the next Avengers movie needs. Ninjas. I mean, that's something, you know, ninjas still showing up, you know, the last Wolverine movie, you know, the Wolverine movie.
Yep.
You know, that was like, you know, heavy ninja-centric and samurai-centric. So, yeah, it's still...
And I think even Captain America had some of the, you know, kind of a little bit of that feel to it. You know, I mean, it wasn't all just guns blazing.
Yeah, the... You know, Hydra, Nazi ninjas.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. There will be no Nazi references on this channel.
Ninja Nazis from outer space, or... Yeah, there probably is a movie called that. About,
dude, if there's not, then we're going to direct it.
Space ninjas. That's what we need.
Dude, if Jason can go to outer space, so can ninjas.
I mean, they had, you know, Thunderball, or where James Bond's in space in the space station.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that had space ninjas in it. I mean, speaking of the impact on pop culture, I mean, even today we use, to describe somebody who's, like, good at something, oh, he's a, you know, web ninja, or, you know,
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my titles at work. People's like, yeah, that's a ninja guru. You need something? Go talk to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it's gone beyond having, you know, a reference to the martial arts or movies or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a, you know, ninja of, you know, auto repair or something like that. You know, it's come to mean, you know, being badass at something is being, you know, ninja. Or still, even today, man, I was like, I don't know, I guess it has to do with working in haunted houses but like just the stealth. I mean, you know, I still love sneaking up on people. I don't know why. It's that. That's how little ninja I can be. Is like I just still sneak up on people and scare the shit out of them.
Yeah, and you're a big dude too. So I mean, it's
yeah for a big dude to move stealthily. You know, it takes some practice and skill. It's always fun when like, you know, you just get right up on somebody and they're like, "Where'd you come from, you big fucker?"
My problem's ninja. Always that one creaky floorboard that gives it away.
He's got to cover it up with a fart.
Whoa! What was that, dude? That was a ninja shard.
Yeah. I mean, you could even get, you know, ninja blenders now. There's like ninja everything. I mean, it's like, you know, toys stuffed out of me. Like, I saw a picture online when I was looking at ninja stuff that there's a train in Japan that has ninja stuff painted all down the side of it. It's become like, you know, a cartoonish nearly that it's so popular. And I mean, like I said, it's gotten huge. Yeah, like, I mean, I even, like, always dress up as, like, ninjas for Halloween and stuff. It was, like, and there's still that, like, you go to, like, you know, the Halloween store, there's always several ninja costumes. I mean, still today is, like, you know, kids want to be ninjas. I think we're, like, seniors in high school. We thought it'd be funny for a bunch of, like, 17-year-old guys to go out trick-or-treating, and we dressed up as Sub-Zero and Scorpion. And our one random friend that tried to dress up as the Crow, which sucked for him, because every house we stopped at, that like somebody in their 40s was like, "Dude, Gene Simmons from Kiss." He's like, "No, I'm the Crow, damn it."
Who's the Crow?
And that's, you know, kind of a ninja movie too, Brandon Lee. I mean, there was definitely some stealth elements to that
movie, man. I
loved the first movie and just, you know,
yeah, the
fact of him, you know, dying before the movie completed. And
yeah, the later sequels, you know, just did not hold up as well as that first one. But that first movie was
the
badass.
First movie, yeah. I mean, that's one that I think I could probably get away with watching, you know, once a day for every day for the rest of my life, and I'd be okay with it.
We haven't talked about Blade either. Blade's could be considered a ninja movie. I mean, he definitely used a ninja sword.
The whole ninja versus vampire thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real version of ninjas versus vampires is, you know, the Blade trilogy.
Have you ever
trilogy.
Seen the Blade animes and stuff that they did?
Yeah, I've seen most of those, the Marvel animes. But yeah, that Blade anime was good. And it really looked like some ninja anime stuff. I think even the Iron Man anime too, because it was supposed to be in Japan. There was some ninjas.
Yeah, that's
ninjas,
you know, that's
in
one
it.
Thing that, you know, it was always kind of hard for me to get into the anime scene, but you know, seeing the Japanese take, and to be 100% honest, a lot of times stuff originated over in Japan, and then we Americanized it and put our own twist on it. But you know, I really have a lot of respect for, now that I can appreciate it and go back and look on things and say, man, that's where the ideas of so many of our, you know, fundamental movies came from. That it blows me away.
Yeah, like I said, and Ninja Scrolls is my first really thing that got me into anime, and I started watching a lot of, you know, anime from just that, you know, that original intro to it. Yeah, like I said, the art of ninjutsu has had a huge cultural impact. I think that about wraps it up on ninjas. Yeah, before the ninjas show up and take us all away. So after a short break, we'll be back with our reoccurring segments, starting off with Beer 30.
Sweet. Pop some tops.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
Right, and we're back. This is our Beer 30 segment where we review a beer and let y'all know what we think about it, and maybe give y'all some suggestions or tell you what not to drink if it tastes like, you know, butt. Today we are sampling a local brewery, Sweetwater Brewery out of Atlanta. You should definitely check them out, sweetwaterbrewery.com. And we'll put all that in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Gimp, we're testing something a little bit new to us anyway. This is an experimental brew, so, you know, I'm curious to try it, see how it hits the palate.
Yeah, this is the Sweetwater Dank Tank, the Gimp. It's the 2012 edition Dank Tank. It's a special beer they release, like, a few a year. They're... You know, like Brad said, the experimental beers that they're not part of their regular roundup, which tends to be a lot of IPAs, and definitely like their limited edition stuff.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, that are a fan of the high gravities, you know, you should enjoy this one. You know, 10.3% ABV, so you know we're hitting the double digits. You know, definitely has a little bit of that alcohol taste, but smooth and refreshing at the same time. Definitely. You know, it's got the style dubbed as Old Ale, you know, and it definitely hits the palate and really cleanses, you know, hats off, you know.
Yeah, according to the Sweetwater description, it is a wide open ale that is bred to be stashed in a dark cellar, only to be brought out for your most special guests. This full-bodied Gimp gives off sweet scents of caramel and toffee, as a legend has it. Warm sensations of malt balanced by a low voltage dose of hops, delivering a shocker you'll actually want to receive.
Yeah, that's one thing I can appreciate about this beer is, you know, unfortunately for me, I'm not really the hop head, so, you know, I'm kind of out of the college scene and the whole IPAs just aren't really cutting it for me, you know. Great for, you know, the hot wing endeavors and things of that nature, but...
IPAs are great if you want to get drunk, because they all have, like, insanely high...
You know, at the same time, though, that's one thing I appreciate about this beer, as well as, you know, the Sweetwater happy ending and stuff. Once again, you know, if you haven't checked out the happy ending, keep your eyes out on store shelves. That should be, you know, coming to market again. Seasonal brew that'll
You can get the 2013 now, which we'll be discussing on a later episode. But the 2014 should be coming out soon. They usually get released in the fall.
But, you know, I can definitely get my drunk on. And, you know, when I don't have to taste the bitterness of the hops and everything, and, you know, my palate's cleansed and refreshed. You know, keep in mind we are pairing the beer right now with a cigar. So, you know,
as we pair everything. Everything in life should be paired with a cigar. It doesn't matter. Video games. Whatever, yeah.
I mean, that is why we're the cigar nerds, so, you know, exactly. It's not uncommon at us for find some retro arcade out somewhere and, you know, have a decent off-the-wall beer, something from the craft scene that most folks have never heard of, and hopefully we've never heard of, and, you know, give our palates a taste, smoke some cigars, do some old-school gaming, do everything nerdy.
And this is our first recording of the Beer 30 segment. In the future, we hope to have, like, maybe some, not just beer reviews, but interviews with the brewery, brewmasters, various other things.
Yeah, and I, you know, any of you folks listening to the podcast as well, you know, we definitely like to open it up and, you know, not opposed to you fans of homebrews out there. You know, love to hear what's going on, what you're working with, and, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're here in the Atlanta market, maybe we can meet up and do some sampling as well.
So, your review on the Dank Tank, what do you think?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give this one about an 8. You know, smooth and refreshing. You know, we had
scale,
it under...
Our scale doesn't go that high. It only goes to 5. The personal beer rating app of the Cigar Nerds is the Untappd app. Definitely check that out in your Apple stores and your Google Plays. It lets you rate your beers... log where you're actually drinking them, and
actually let's just keep a little bit of a dossier on them.
Even take a cool photo of whatever you're drinking, and then I will also suggest other beers by
similar
sample,
taste,
yeah,
and likings. But you know,
yeah, but this is definitely on the Untappd scale. This is definitely a 4. It's up there for me.
So yeah. Untappd scale, I'm gonna give it a 4.5. Little trick here, guys, you know, if you're kind of new to the beer scene, or, you know, you've had a couple of beers and, you know, maybe they weren't your forte, one thing I've really learned is the temperature of the brew, the type of glass that you serve it in, pretty much 101 for beer. If you go to a bar and they offer you a chilled glass, say no. You know, don't be afraid, you know, your Bud Lights and things like that, yeah, the colder the better, but... you know, some of these high-gravity beers, don't be afraid to let those things come up to, you know, 55, 60 degrees and pour them in a chalice or a, you know, similar wine glass and let the full body of the beer expand and, you know, let the aromas and everything else mix and it'll change how you perceive a beer.
And then some of your craft breweries, if you read the labels, it'll actually give you a suggested... temperature to serve your beer.
Yeah, I know the St. Bernardus AB12, probably one of my all-time favorite beers. It gives you the recommended type of glass, the recommended temperature to serve it, and, you know, my girlfriend, she's a bit of a wine drinker, so, you know, her single bottle wine chiller comes in handy anytime we're out, and we pick up some of those 750 milliliter bottles, and, you know, great way to make sure that the beer stays at the proper temperature without being too cold and, you know, destroying the flavors.
And as always, at the end of the, on our website, once we will post links to the brewery on our show notes and, you know, some suggestions where you can pick up one of these beers. And also a nice photo of, so you can hunt it down when you're out shopping. Yeah, there are several different versions of the Dank Tank, but depending on the release year, it's not the same... same formula from year to year. They mix
it
up.
Always takes on a different character.
Yeah.
So, you know, encourage you folks, you know, to get out there. Don't be afraid to experiment. You know, as the Beer 30 segment continues and progresses, you know, we'll be bringing new things to the table. And we hope that you guys, the listeners, you know, also give your thoughts, feedback, recommendations. And
we'll,
you know,
also give you our... at the end of the show, our Twitter, email, stuff like that. So if you got something that you think we should try, you know, write in, give us some suggestions of what you want to hear, what you want to drink, and we'll go from there. And we're back with science. All right, today's science article. Scientists create a giant robot swarm. Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds like some post-apocalyptic shit or something like.
Dude,
I'm just asking to have the human race wiped out.
Basically, these researchers in, at
basically
Harvard.
Just like the Terminator just happened.
Yes. It's getting there, man. They've built Skynet. Because researchers at Harvard University has come up with this thing that they're calling Kilobots, which to me is way too close to killer bots.
Yeah.
It's a 1,000 robot swarm of these little coin-shaped robots that can build themselves into 2D images. Like, they'll have, like, what they call seed bots, which is, like, the 3 or 4, leader bots. Will, like, put them on the table, and they'll have the program that say, hey, we want to form ourselves into the shape of a star. And then all the other little robots on their own will connect and make a, 2D image of whatever the computer has programmed the robots to build.
Dude, the hive.
Yes, I mean, it's like basically the starting of a Skynet hive mind thing. The researchers, the head of this project, Michael Rubenstein, said basically they're trying to study complex like hive minds or modular, kind of like you see ants will build a bridge out of their own bodies to cross, ravines and stuff. They're trying to figure out how those things work. But yeah, it's like I said, luckily for us right now, it takes them 12 hours to form the shape of a star. So we're not ready for the takeover yet. But yeah, this is like development.
Definitely going to have to work on some EMP technology or something to shut those little bastards down.
Yeah, I mean, rule one, if you don't want to have a robot uprising, stop building robots.
Well, I mean, I've seen, nanotechnology where they've, trying to use it for cancer research, where basically, they're trying to train the robots in such a way that can go in and destroy the, cancerous cells and stuff, but given that a almost artificial intelligence, we might be onto something there.
And it's basically spoiler. If anybody hasn't seen the new Transformers yet, one of the big plot points in that is they found this material called Transformium, which is a very uncreative name, but basically you can program in any shape you want, and these pile of sand-like stuff will turn into, whatever you need formed. And that's what they're saying the next, what they're trying to work toward with this experiment is, instead of having coin-shaped robots building, basically art designs, they want to be able to get down to the point where there's, sand-sized robots that can build tools or machines and stuff, instead of having to have a entire toolbox full of stuff, you're like, oh, I need a wrench. My pile of sand turns into a wrench, or even like I said, medical, in the medical field.
Gadget wrench.
Yeah. Like, oh, we need a new cigar ashtray. We can type in it and our pile of sand will become an ashtray. But yeah, this is like, kind of scary if you've grown up watching the Terminator, because I mean, this is like one level below Skynet.
Aren't every bad movie where they've decided that, oh, we're going to give robots the ability to think for themselves, and you get that one individual that says, you know what, I'm going to turn everything upside down.
I mean, we got Age of Ultron fixing the next Avengers movie. That's about a bunch of robots that decide to turn evil. I mean, once you get the hive mind going and one robot can control all the other robots, that's, might not be a good thing if we lose control.
I would say no bueno.
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty close to that whole Transformers thing of the Transformium. But, I mean, it would have some especially interesting applications, like in
podcasting, say space, for turning into microphones.
Yeah. Or even in, like, space travel, where, right now our space is really dependent on weight. Like, you can't carry a whole lot of stuff into space, and if you can carry you know, a gallon of sand is going to turn into whatever tool or, you know, equipment you need in space that's going to save a whole lot on the weights of the ships. You know, we can, like I said, we can be able to, you know, one thing can basically do everything we're going to need at that point. Or even an unmanned, you know, space missions. You know, your ship lands on Mars and then it turns into, you know, your rover or whatever, you know, giant Pacific Rim robot you need to conquer the Earth.
Yeah, it's like getting into some, you know, Godzilla versus Megatron stuff, you know. Just at some point, I think there's things that we shouldn't experiment with because, human nature dictates it's going to bite us in the arse.
I mean, it does have some good applications if it works the way it's supposed to work. And they say, you know, by studying these robots, they can kind of learn a little bit more about, like I said, how animals that, like, you see flocks of birds that can automatically, you know, or even fish that, there's some fish that will swim together and make themselves look like a bigger fish to scare off predators. I mean, and that's one of the things we're kind of trying to figure out is how that, you know, that instinct works, how they all communicate together to form the one thing.
Absolutely. That's pretty awesome. I mean, you see that a lot, you know, especially with, you know, some of your ant species and stuff in the Amazon, you know, where they'll bundle together and everybody knows their role and, you know, they'll sit there and float across oceans and, you know, build bridges so that the, you know, leader ants can get across, you know, chasms and stuff. So definitely some cool tech there, though.
And, yeah, this, these things just communicate with, like, just, you know, infrared signals and so that, and like, so they have the thing they're trying to build programmed in, but then they pretty much work independently to figure out.
Right now, they still rely on some kind of central database or something like that.
Well, not really. Like I said, the seed bots will have like
the code.
The code. Like, hey, we're, you know, going to need to form the shape of a wrench, and then they will instruct the other robots to find their place. They say how it works now is like it'll say, you know, the one bots give the signal to the other bots that, hey, this is the shape we need, and then they will detect their location and decide whether or not we are in the shape or outside the shape, and then it will move themselves till they're inside whatever the pre-programmed shape is.
I did robotics modules and stuff, and definitely really cool, you know, that you can take a couple of pieces of code and implant it into, you know, especially, you know, I mean, I remember computer technology where you had vacuum tubes and, you know, just to do a simple math equation would at one point take, you know, PC powerhouse the size of an entire room, and now we can do, you know, millions of sections of code or...
And these things are fairly cheap too. I think these robots are they're $20 a piece. So I mean, if we could get to the point where they could build complex objects, I mean, it would be pretty cool that, you know, one thing could be used for, you know, many purposes.
So I could have my wrench, or I could have my proton cannon.
Exactly. Everyone needs a proton cannon. And there's even, I've seen other robots, maybe not in this study, but that they're basically build themselves. It's like this paper thing, and these robots would fold the paper into whatever they needed it to be.
Origami robots.
Pretty much, you know, like, you know, by the end of it, like, this one little robot had built this, like, you know, spider looking thing out of paper, and now it's moving around the table from, you know, the robot manipulating it.
Dude, I'm gonna step on it.
Yeah.
Either that or I'm gonna put it up in a cage in the bedroom with the other spider.
Yeah, just whenever it starts, you know, trying to take over humanity. I mean, like, you remember, was it the, from Stargate? They had those little robots that would turn into, like, these crazy spider things.
Yeah.
And build, and those things, like, you know, nearly took over the galaxy. Yeah, we do not want them becoming self-aware. And then, like, the Kilobots, you know, turn into, Pacific Rim robots and kill us all. And, you know, we'll have to rely on Godzilla to save us.
Dude, that's all right. I'll summon Godzilla.
And another get a bonus 2-for-1 scientific discovery this week. Scientists find 200-year-old booze in shipwreck. These marine archaeologists found this ship sunk in the Baltic Sea, somewhere near Poland, and they find what they think is a bottle of settler's water, which was like a 1,000-year-old German bottled water company that's still around today. It's still considered like, it's kind of like a high-end, like a luxury item to get this water that's from this one well. Well, they sent the water, what they thought was water, off to get analyzed to see if the formula was the same as the original well that they were using that had dried up. But what they found instead was 28-proof vodka. So even, 200 years ago, people were smuggling booze in water bottles. Anyone who has gone to a concert, festival, or Dragon Con knows this trick.
I would know nothing of the sort. Mm-hmm. I always smuggle it in my belly.
I just wear a bandolier of flasks. But they said, it was
mystery
still...
Mystery Flask Man emerges.
Exactly. That's my Dragon Con costume, Mystery Flask Man. But they say that, testing it, that the alcohol was still drinkable. I mean, even though it's been sitting in a bottle in the bottom of the sea for 200 years.
That's pretty awesome, though. I mean, I just got to think, most of the time you think of alcohol, you think of, aging, you think of your scotches, your brandies, and things of that nature. This is kind of cool, a little bit of an interesting factoid. And
I did see where they found another shipwreck. They found a bottle of beer that was still drinkable because it had been, sealed and in a, cool water for the last, couple hundred years, but yeah. It was still, I don't know if I'd want to, what it would taste like, but it wouldn't kill you. They didn't say whether it tasted good or not. They just said it was drinkable.
Probably it doesn't taste as good as a Guinness going down my throat now.
Yeah. Aged Guinness. Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Definitely need more nitrogen in our beers.
Yeah. Would you drink a found bottle of whiskey that...
You know what? I just might. I would probably be that guy that would.
I mean, it would be worth the story. I mean, if someone's like, this won't kill you, then I'll give it a try.
I mean, hell, we've done a lot of other things in life that probably should have killed us.
I've had 20-year-old scotch. I'd like to see what 200-year-old scotch tastes like. Yeah. And you gotta say, hey, this is actual pirate rum. this came from a sucking galleon in the West Indies or whatever. Even if it made you sick, as long as it didn't kill you, it would be worth the story.
It's one of those sicknesses that made you wish you were dead. Like, you know what? But yeah, I mean, I'd have
like
to
a bad tequila hangover.
Tequila hangover the last time we were at the liquor store.
Yeah, I mean, as long as like the killer robots are not showing up to kill you, then. The 200-year-old
booze. Why don't they show up and try to take your booze? I mean, then we've got a problem.
That's when we have to revolt. When the robots start stealing our alcohol, it's time to fight. Yeah. Terminators. Yeah, fuck them. You're not taking my booze.
You can have my boots. You can have my gun, some motorcycle, my clothes, whatever else. Okay.
Yeah. So, no, we got to come up with like one more minute.
Oh, one more, huh? Yes. Uno memento, por favor.
Yeah. So, what do you think about potential robot takeover?
I mean, as long as the booze is okay, and I mean, for the most part, I guess we could say as long as humanity's spared, and we can use the technology for a greater good, and keep the scum of the earth from getting their hands on it and putting their evil twist and read into things, I would say that, hey, you know what, it's cool, let's give it a shot. Who knows, maybe it's a way that, us as humans eventually at some point, force ourselves to evolve or, coexist more so than what we have, and instead of being consumers, work alongside other producers and learn to become more producers ourselves and get back to, the earth and the environment.
Hey, maybe we can train robots to make boots.
Who's making robots?
I mean, I just want an Iron Man suit. That's my only purpose in robots.
I mean, you said these things are pretty cheap at $20 a pop. I mean, dude, $20 million, you'd probably have your...
Dude, if they can build me an Iron Man suit, and then, you know, with a little butler inside that talks to me, then, yeah, I'm all game for it. Yeah, let our robot masters take over the world.
Neo Jarvis.
Yeah. As long as it builds me an Iron Man suit, you know, our robot overlords can take over. I don't care. As long as I'm, you know, I have my Iron Man suit.
I mean, I guess as long as the end of the day is if I got a way to protect myself and if my hollow-point bullets won't stop it, then, hey, I'm game. I'll develop my own EMP cannon. That way, you know, maybe I can shut down the technology. But chances are some scientists will be like, we need to make these things MP, you know, EMP shielded or something. And there goes my philosophy.
Yeah, my MP3 player starts downloading music on its own. And it's things going to get bad. Well, I think that does it for science. We'll be right back with our next segment.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
Welcome to the Nerd News segment, which, not really news, but it's more of our editorial segment of the show where we just find a topic that either pisses us off or makes us really excited or something we just feel like ranting about for a few minutes.
Yeah, this is a part of the show that's kind of freestyle where we comment and you listen.
The round table discussion, if you will. So what's our topic today, Brad?
I think we're going to talk about how I remember growing up as a kid, it was not cool to be a nerd. And the transition into today's society where all of a sudden everything is acceptable and it's hip. So I wonder, is it just another fad? Or has society really changed its outlook?
Yeah, because I mean, back when we were young, the nerd...
Dude, you're an old fuck.
Fuck off. Shut up, Flamer.
Hey, that's another series.
Yeah, that's the secret origin story of the Cigar Nerds podcast. Something that was edited out long ago. But not like...
In a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a kid, you know, it was like, you know, the guys who were into the comic books and video games and all that stuff were kind of the outcasts.
Wait a second, you had video games?
Yeah, it wasn't rocks, Jackass. You're only 5 years younger than me. Don't make me slap you. This from the man that just, like, watched Star Wars, 2 months ago?
Dude, I had gallbladder surgery, okay? I mean, I wasn't trying to jump on the fad bandwagon. I was still trying to rep it old school. I was still trying to be a nerd without seeing the ultimate nerd movies.
Yeah, like, I mean, back in the day, it was the quote-unquote jocks, the sports people, the popular kids that were cool, and now it's like...
That was totally me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, now there's like, you know, it's not anything to see a couple people playing Magic in the middle of a, you know, a bar. Yeah, or cigar shop.
You're saying, fucking nerd, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, you could break out of a game of X-Wing at a cigar shop, and no one cares. It's all like, yeah.
I care.
Of course. As long
Typically because I'm getting my butt beat. So any of you people that's got X-Wing strategy, I'm all ears.
So what do you think has, like, brought this, you know, back into being, you know, popular culture?
You know, I almost wonder if it's not society's way of transitioning. And, you know, I think we all like a good heartfelt story where the underdog rises to the top. And I wonder if... society today, if, you know, there for a long time, nerds were kind of suppressed and silent, and, you know, now, holy crap, these people are smart, even though they're playing video games, they have real-life applications, and what are they doing so differently, and why do they carry themselves a certain way, and regardless, maybe it's just, you know, one of those plays where, hey, we're getting to a point to... we just don't care anymore where, you know, what people judge or think or anything along those lines.
I mean, I don't think, you know, we as a, you know, nerd culture has changed any over the years, but it's now more acceptable, you know, people that before would be...
Well, I mean, I'm talking just, you know, mainly not within, you know, culture. I mean, you've always had the conventions and the cons where, you know, role-playing and LARPing was acceptable, and it was just kind of a way of life, you know, people... especially adults, you know, got to slow down and put the real world aside and, you know, reminisce and, you know, get back to the roots of things that brought them pleasure and enjoyment. And, you know, I think ultimately as society as a whole, You know, you look at politics and a lot of things going on around the world, people just want to generally feel good and not be down all the time.
Yeah, I mean, 15, 20 years ago, you would never see an Avengers movie, $1 billion, Hollywood big budget, spectacle like that.
It always started out as, kind of the, almost the, hey, we got a video camera, let's see if we can film a movie. And,
I mean, I think it's gotten to the point where, the businesses and Hollywood have started to recognize that,
there's probably a profit to be made.
Yes. Nerds now, we're no longer the kids hanging out, comic books. Everyone's grown up. We have money now. We are it's...
Wait, you got money?
Some days.
I mean, sweet. Can you hook a brother up?
Nah, Dragon Con's next week, so I don't have any money left. But yeah, it's like I said, it's got the point. That and two, and I think also these people that were the counterculture then is now the ones that are in charge. The people that are making the things we love are the people that grew up loving, the nerdy stuff. So they're catering more to,
to our lifestyle. Steve Jobs, kind of aspect of things where, at first they were, college dropouts that were never going to amount to anything. And then people all of a sudden realize that, holy crap, there's a multi-billion dollar industry and software that's just been developed. And, that's one of the ways that nerds have become so successful is we don't necessarily fit the norm. We kind of find our own right and our own passage in life. And, part of that is just...
I mean, that's, like I said, and people are realizing that, not just the product itself, but the games, the toys, the tie-ins. I mean, it's a huge business now to cater to the nerd culture. I mean, that's how Lucas made a lot of his money. It's like when the Star Wars first came out, nobody thought it was going to be a big deal. And he's like, well, give me the rights to merchandising. Remember, they're like, fucking merchandise. No one's going to buy Star Wars toys. Sure, take the merchandising rights. And then now it's like...
Yeah, that kind of set the precedent for all the other... I mean, and that's... Yeah,
the Star Wars label is on everything. I mean, you get Star Wars lighters,
And maybe this is, cars. A topic for another episode, but, I think we could definitely talk about merchandising and branding. I mean, you don't see that with a lot of, Avengers movies and a lot of the stuff that Marvel's doing here. There's not the action figures and toys to back it up the way that there used to be. I mean, I can remember...
Oh, there's a lot of Avengers stuff out there now.
It's not like...
I mean, there's a bunch... Guardians of the Galaxy, too, man. There's so many... That's the one thing is,
dude, everybody dreams of having a pep rocket. What are you talking about? I'm trying to grow a Groot in the backyard as we speak.
Just don't smoke the Groot, man. It's no bueno.
Dude, I don't know, man. That might be some next level-ish.
I mean, I am hooked on a feeling, and I'm high on believing, but... Yeah, it's a... Like, it's a... What's the word I'm looking for? I had a brain fart.
It's good that you had a brain fart, not an ass fart, because seeing as how we're sitting across 4 feet from each other, that would be no
That's
way
okay. The cigar smell covers it up. It's all
I don't think so, man. That's why I have to keep a bottle of this chocolate odor desensitizer stuff around, so that way you go sharding. And that's, once again, probably another rant for another day. So kind of continue on the merchandising aspect. I mean, I personally, and maybe it's because I'm not getting out there and actively looking at the toys and stuff, but I definitely, don't see them advertised. I mean, it used to be, G.I. Joe, Transformers.
Yeah, back in the, the Funimation, I believe, is the company, and the whatever, DIC. Yeah, basically the cartoons were a 30-minute commercial for the toys. And now it's like I said, I do a lot of roaming, and so I see a lot of more of the action figure stuff. And like I said, it's
just that you don't see it in the big box stores. You know, you don't see them at the Walmarts, the Targets, and stuff like that. I mean, it's almost, if you're looking for a specific action figure, I mean, without ordering online or something or going to a con, about the only other place is hopefully a well stocked comic shop or something.
Yeah. But I think the point I was trying to get to when I had my brain fart was that stuff is made now, like, say 80s, when you would have a comic book movie, it was written and controlled by studios that had no idea of the source material. So you'd get these like off the wall at like the freaking whatever Super Mario Brothers movie, and yeah, you know, some of the like the
whatever. I can still rep some of the cartoons.
But yeah, I mean, but now you know, back then it was like, all right, comic book writers write for comic books, and movie people write for movies, and they won't talk to each other. But now, you know, Marvel owns the studio, so the movies and the content are being created by the original, you know, source material, you know, people. And that's something that really got started with the, you know, Marvel Studios and you know, the first Iron Man movie, and it's really, you know, just rolled on since then.
So think back on it. Do you remember a time when you used to wake up early, specifically on a Saturday, just for the cartoon lineups?
Oh, yeah. Like back, I mean, I don't even... Is there even any Saturday morning cartoons anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
usually mean, I'm hungover on Saturday. I don't get up that early. But, yeah, I mean...
I thought that was on any day in NY. I mean,
no, true. But, I mean, now it's like the... you got the Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, and
yeah, but Nickelodeon. I mean, that's catered, you know, you've got the adult clientele more so than...
Especially like the more the late night stuff. And that's something the people that are making the current content are the people that grew up on the old stuff that we loved. Exactly. And so now they're kind of, you know, especially, I mean, if you watch some of the daytime cartoons on the, you know, Nickelodeon Cartoon Network, they're a little bit more kid-oriented.
Well, I mean...
But the primetime program is, I mean, it's something a kid could watch, but adults, you know, will watch it too. Like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. I mean, yep. I've watched all two seasons of that. I mean, I don't have kids.
That's only because
I have no excuse.
Such a badass in those cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, being the high school janitor and everything, dude, he had it going on.
And the two Avengers, latest Avengers cartoon series. I mean, those were both, and even the Clone Wars cartoon series, I think that had some better writing than even the three prequels. I mean, the
just
Clone
some of the
Wars series
build ups
was,
and everything else that were there that you didn't see in the originals. And you know, as somebody that, you know, I'll say I'm relatively new to the Star Wars franchise, you know, I never had any quirks or problems with it. Just, you know, I had so many friends that would tell me about Star Wars that knew it inside and out. I never felt like I was missing out because, I mean, a lot of times even not seeing the movies, I had a better idea of characters and what was going on.
Yeah. Don't get me started with my encyclopedic knowledge of all things Star Wars. that pissed me off, the whole Disney buyout saying the extended universe is not canon anymore, because I'm like, dude, I have a lot of books. I have a Star Wars library in my house.
No, you've got the Bible. I mean, if you could take all the books, compress them into one, I mean, you would have the, you know, Star Wars honor code, every bit of history.
I mean, moving's a bitch, because that stuff is heavy. I mean, I do not need to move again, because I hate carrying all those books.
That's the beauty. See, we bought houses now, so we don't have to move. We just have to hope we can support ourselves and continue paying the mortgages.
Yeah, and keep from burning the place down. That is a... And I would say, and stuff like now that it's, you know, gone away, but, you know, G4 and Attack of the Show and all those
TV
shows, you know, made it.
I used to really like Attack of the Show and stuff too.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, the all their, you know, Comic-Con coverage and E3 coverage and stuff, and you know, Chris Hardwick and the Nerdist Industries stuff, they've really, you know, popularized nerd culture and helped, you know, to further that it's okay to be a nerd. We don't hide in basements anymore. Well, we're still hiding in this basement, but we're podcasting.
Hey,
it's okay.
Hey, don't hide in my basement, man. I mean, people would kill for this basement. We got cigars, we got booze, we got a pool table.
We got,
I mean,
like,
we've got nerd
sparkly
artwork all over the place, and
yeah, the weird infection of glitter that seems to haunt this table.
Hey, you know, we made a star field, all right? It's legit.
Yeah, yes, kids, if the one thing you pick up from our podcast, when you make a star field to play X-Wing, be sure and clear coat it after you put the glitter down. If not, it comes off and, you know, haunts your nightmares for the rest of existence. It's true what they say, glitter is the herpes of the art community, because you can never get rid of it.
All right, so had a little run-in with Tinkerbell, I'm sorry. A little, you know, pixel dust, fairy dust, if you will. I mean, dude.
Anybody asks, to tell them we came from a strip club. It'll make sense.
Well, let's not go down that dusty road.
So, you know, thinking back on it, I mean, you know, the perception and reality, I mean, you know, is what we're experiencing now a way to, you know, kind of get back and relive our childhood? As, you know, a lot of the, you know, it's funny, I don't see a lot of the younger generation adapting to the nerd culture the way that, you know, folks in their, you know, mid to late 20s to, you know, all the way up into their 50s and 60s. You know, is it a way that we are vicariously all trying to relive our childhood? I mean, you know, that's one of the questions that I often ponder. You know, is for me, it's an escape, and it reminds me of a simpler time and a simpler place. And, you know, to be quite honest, before all the technology and everything else, and you had to be imaginative and invent ways to...
Yeah, we didn't have Google back then. We actually had to...
You had to do research and there wasn't, open books and go to libraries.
There wasn't Netflix on our phones. You know, if we had nothing to do, we actually had to invent stuff to do.
And didn't have phones.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, the newer generation has that, you know, are they getting more opportunities to, you know, be nerds, or is it, you know, kind of stifling the creativity? I mean, the phone, you know, killed the old bar argument where you're like, oh, you know, trying to figure out some trivia, and you're like, oh, no, hold on, let me just Google this on my phone, and we'll know exactly the airspeed velocity of the African swallow or whatever Monty Python.
All right, and while you're on the topic, what would that be, my friend?
Dude, I can't remember, it's been so long.
It's all right, it's not a trivia night anyway.
I failed.
You know, we did good. We've had beer, we've had whiskey, we're on our second cigar of the night.
And I think that pretty much brings our nerd rant to an end. As we'll wrap up the end of the show here, do you have any more final thoughts on ninjas and robots?
Only they're as badass as when we began to talk about them. And I look forward to seeing what the future holds as far as ninjas and robots continue to go.
Yeah, the only thing, you know, more badass than ninjas and robots is ninja robots. I mean, I can't
female
believe
ninja robots.
I can't believe we forgot the other great ninja contribution.
This goes out to my good buddy in West Virginia.
No, not that. RoboCop 3 and the ninja robots. And that movie was horrible. I mean, the first two RoboCops were good, but that third one was just... I mean, the robot ninjas were the only decent part of that movie.
Well, since you want to talk about something crappy like RoboCop 3, you know, I try to bring up a good, valid point. West Virginia Ninja. That guy is real. He is raw.
Do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube and look up either West Virginia Ninja or Redneck Ninja on YouTube. And it's
they've already all seen it, probably.
Yes, Diamond Dave's Ninja Academy, where he's like, he teach you such wisdom as don't ninja nothing that don't need ninja. And never karate kick when you're judo chopping, because you'll knock your leg off, and there's no need for a one-legged ninja.
Or your average can of backer.
Yes.
No, says I. Ninja star.
Damn right. And as we wrap it up, like I said, this is our first installment, so if you have any suggestions of topics you'd like to hear us talk about, you know, beers you want to hear us review, check us out on all our various social media things. Like,
and what are those various social media things?
We are at Cigar Nerd Pod on Twitter, the Cigar Nerd Podcast at gmail.com. You can check out our website, cigarnerdpodcast.com, and we should have the Cigar Nerd Podcast Facebook page here very soon. So, good night and Hail Hydra. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.